All right, if you're going to sing a song like that, you have to give me notice. Because no, I can't preach. Shall we just read a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 2? And I'm reading from verse 4, and I'm reading the New King James Version. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Amen. Father, we look to you this morning. Indeed, we are so grateful to you, O God, for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. It is he that we preach about this morning, Lord. Father, I pray that you would use this empty vessel, this nothingness that stands before the congregation, Lord, and that your words might go forth mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to try and be really short this morning. I'm told that I'm a long-winded preacher, so I'm going to try and be short this morning. But I wanted to take the opportunity and just give a personal word of testimony. And I know Pastor Don announced a few weeks ago that I was joining the leadership as a pastor. It's been a long struggle for me to get to that place. And I believe in this past year, the Lord has totally transformed me. I've been going through a transformation, I believe, where God has been doing a work in my life. And, you know, Sister Thelma, I don't know if you recall, at the church in the park, as I was coming, you said, "Brother Carter, you're free." You remember that? And I wondered why you said that to me. But the fact is that I had felt so much liberation that some things that were holding me down had just suddenly been broken free. And God has taken me to a higher heights in a walk with him. It's not a place where I stand as a boastful man, but it's a place that I stand humbly and ask for your prayers, because it carries a lot of responsibility. And so I ask for your prayers. And so I've told you on many occasions that when I'm asked to preach, I have to apply the message to myself. And indeed, this is no different, that this message about amazing grace, I had to again go back. And I believe this past year, God has been applying his amazing grace to me. And so I stand here as a man that has been touched by God's amazing, amazing grace. And this morning I came and I was a little bit annoyed about a certain situation, but God reminded me again about his amazing grace towards me. And so I extend that amazing grace to that situation. Because God forgave me for so much that I ought to forgive for so little. And so I thank God for the opportunity to bring his word this morning. But I want to take time out just to thank the praise team, the musicians. And we take it for granted that they come here every Sunday. and Gary Asquith on the equipment at the back, and we take it for granted that they get up early and they're here before all of us. And they spend their Saturday afternoons preparing for this. Guys, I want to thank you for that and for this morning. So we've been talking about good news about grace. And over the last 10 weeks or so, or 8 or 9 sermons or so, we've been talking about grace and the different aspects of grace. And so, just to conclude that message this Sunday, we want to bring it all together. So over the last several weeks, we have come to understand that we are firstly saved by grace. And I've given you some scripture references. You can go look it up. We've been forgiven by grace. We don't deserve it, but God says, I forgive you. And in Colossians 2:13, it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Then thirdly, we're sustained by grace. God is always working in you to give you the will and the power to do what he called you to do. Fourthly, we are healed by grace. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals our broken hearts and binds up our wounds. We are liberated by grace. We're given talents by grace. God has given each of us the ability to do something well, and we're to use it for him. God uses us by his grace. And Paul says to the Ephesians, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And we are kept saved by grace. And that's a wonderful thing to know, that you can't lose your salvation. It's God's grace that keeps us saved. After all, we didn't work for our salvation. He gave it to us freely. And in the same manner, he keeps us from falling. Jude 1, it says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. We are transformed by grace. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Meaning that now you have a different, you're marching to a different tune. You've become a spiritual person because now the gates of a relationship with Christ has been opened. So you're a new creation. You have been transformed or regenerated. And then finally, we are matured by grace. And Peter says, grow in grace that the knowledge and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more you grow in grace, the more you're going to grow spiritually. So brothers and sisters, the bottom line really is this. It's all by grace. Everything that God does in you, for you, to you, he does by his grace. Everything is God's grace. We wouldn't even have our own lives if it weren't for God's grace. And that's what we've been talking about these past few weeks. But it would be a tragedy, I believe, if we had gone through the entire series. And some of you had still never received God's grace. It would truly be a tragedy if some of you had never really opened your life up to receiving the grace of God. So as we conclude this series, I want to ask this question, and there may be a few people who are probably asking this question this morning. How do I get this grace? How do I get this amazing grace? Does it sound like a good deal, this grace? Sounds like only one person thinks so. It's a great deal, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's an amazing deal. And as we talk about this morning, we're going to find out why it's so amazing. I'm sure we've concluded already that it's amazing. We listed those 10 things, and most of us here can testify about those things. And I'm sure if I called upon anybody this morning, they could give a word of testimony. Right? I'm not so sure. So how do I get this grace? It's a first step, a simple step. It says, by trusting Christ. By trusting Christ. You know, God made it so simple that nobody could say it was too hard to understand. No, it's not one of those multi-step pathway with lots of rituals. No, it's simply trusting Christ. The Bible says this in John 1:17. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the truth is all of grace, all of what was presented a few weeks is wrapped up in a single person, the person of Jesus Christ. He is the source. This is what makes it so amazing, this grace that we have been sharing with you. If you don't get it through Christ, you simply don't get it. And I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that you don't get grace through religion, through rules, through regulations. No, you don't get it like that. It's a simple first step by trusting Christ, but then coming to what? In Romans 5:11 says, no, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciliation meaning we have received a restored relationship. We trust Christ and we come into a relationship with him. This is how we receive grace. The fact is God's grace is free. All you have to do is accept it. It's free to you. There's one caveat though. It's not cheap. It's not cheap. Why? Because it cost Jesus his life. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And in 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Grace is the most expensive commodity there is. Jesus died on the cross to pay for it. Let us never forget that. And I know I'm talking in basic terms, but I wonder if there might be a few people here who have never really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so I want to make sure that they get an opportunity, that they hear clearly what this grace is about. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. Firstly, he paid the penalty for sin. And secondly, he broke the power of sin. And thirdly, the presence of sin will be obliterated. And I'm sure most of us, I said old Christians, have seen this acronym, GRACE, is God's richest at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. So this morning, as we talk about grace, and if you're here and you've never experienced God's grace, I hope that by the time we are done this morning, you would want to experience it. You would want some of that amazing stuff called grace. You'd want to receive it. And there's no better time, there's no better place than now. But then I want to address those of us who are mature believers, and I ask this question. What do we do with this amazing grace? If it's so amazing, what are we as believers doing with this grace? Paul to the Corinthians says, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. What is he saying? I'm taking answers. What is he saying? Don't take it lightly. What else? Huh? Should tell others. Make disciples of them. Any other opinion on what Paul is saying here? No? But he's urging us. He said, don't take this grace in vain. In light of what Jesus Christ has done for us, what should be our response to this amazing grace? I'll go a step further. In light of the fact of all those 10 things that we just mentioned, what should our response be? Let's look at three ways that we can respond to this. Firstly, I can show my gratitude for God's grace by making my life count. Making my life count. This year I spoke, almost a year ago, it was in February that I spoke about Martin Luther King and the legacy that he left. In the MES version, it says, don't you see that you can't keep on living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? So let people see God in and through your body. Let your life count. God's grace needs to be shared. We can't keep doing the same thing, brothers and sisters. We have to make or life count. How are other people going to understand God's grace if our life doesn't show it? We've got to make our life count. And God created, and I remember years ago I struggled with this. What purpose have I been created for, Lord? What have you created me for? 1 Peter tells us each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. So the abilities and the talents and the opportunities and the education and the freedom and the relationships and all the things that you have that bless your life were not just given to be squandered. They were given for a purpose. God expects you to use those for a purpose. He has shown you his grace. I beg you, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. I think when you get to a certain age, and I'll stop here and be a little transparent, because I'm over 50, and I'm starting to count down, and I'm looking, and I said, man, 60 is coming up fast. And then it's 70. And then you begin to slow down, and I'm saying, but Lord, what am I going to do now? Because after this next, I'm 51, 9 years, then it's going to be this real massive decline downhill. I'm sorry. This is me talking. And so I find myself in a bit of a panic. I find myself in a bit of a panic because I want to do so much now for the Lord. And I said, you know, I have to find real purpose in my life. So I've got to come to this point where, you know, Michael, it's not so much about you. So, you know, me and Heather were having a conversation. And I said, hon, we've got to live our life as though it's not about us. We've got to stop thinking about what we need to save, or we need to do this, need to do that. We need to begin to pour ourselves into other people's lives. And because I'm telling you, I'm really unhappy with the state of just working and worrying about. Now I want to do a lot more for the Lord. This is me talking. And so when I'm preparing this message and I'm reading some of this stuff and I see this, it just completely applies to me. So when I say, don't squander your life anymore, I'm talking to Michael. Stop squandering your life. And so brothers and sisters, I have to make some serious adjustment to my lifestyle, and it's probably going to take some acts of faith, some steps of faith. So pray about that. And I ask you to do the same as we enter a new year. We can't do the same thing and get increasingly better results. So therefore, we have to take a radical look at ourselves, our lives, and make some adjustments so that this amazing grace that God has poured out upon us, that we are doing something with it. Can't allow our Lord to have wasted all his grace on us, and we have not done anything with it. So now is a good time. You know, we always make New Year's resolutions, but now it's a good time to start thinking about that. You're familiar with the generosity, and secondly, by becoming a generous person. Now, this is usually a very delicate subject in the church. I didn't get permission from the oversight to even talk like I'm going to talk right now. So, Brother Trevor, don't tell me. But in 2 Corinthians 9, 7 to 8, it says, each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. All grace, all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Those are the promises related to the person who does what? Who becomes like Christ. What was Christ like? He was a giver. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. That's why we celebrate Christmas, right? It's Christ coming down, God coming down to man. And I was explaining to my daughters the other day, this is the major distinction between Christianity and all those other religions. It's a major, what was the word I used again, honey? You remember? Dichotomy? Different parts. God coming, God giving. In all religions, they're always trying to reach up because their gods are always up here and they're always trying to meet. But here we see God coming and giving. He's giving to us his only begotten Son. He's giving us his amazing grace through Christ Jesus. The Christian life is summed up in three words: love, serve, give. Until you learn to be generous with your time, your money, your life, your resources, your opportunities, you're not going to be like Christ. Nothing is greater proof than you understand grace, that you are lovingly, graciously, and generous to other people and to God. And if you don't become uptight when some people or some other pastors start talking about giving, or you get defensive, or you get stingy, or you get nervous, it means you don't understand grace. Look at that verse again. He says, if you give cheerfully, liberally, abundantly, what's God going to do for you? He will take care of all your needs. So here's a question I have for the congregation this morning. Are you going to trust the God who gave his life for you? If you can trust him enough for salvation, can't you trust him enough in your finances? You know, and we're moving into some bigger things next year. We're taking on a pastor, and we're looking at potentially a building. Those things are going to require greater financial commitment on the part of Pioneer Community Church. But we look at the financial climate and we're saying, why would we do that? We can't afford it. But we don't march at the same tune the world marches to, right? Amen. And we have to be obedient to what God tells us to do, because the resources that we have are not ours, it's his. And the more that's coming, it's he that is going to bring it, right? So we have to be obedient and we have to act in faith. I'm not saying that we should be stupid, but we need to act in faith as God leads us. And so Pioneer Community Church is taking some major leaps next year. First one is that we're getting a pastor to come and help spread the good news. So we ought to become a generous person if this grace is so amazing. And thirdly, we can respond by sharing the good news of grace. Acts 20:24 says, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Do you notice in this passage it doesn't say the most important thing in life is to get married? It didn't say the most important thing is to fund your retirement or your 401k. It didn't say the most important thing is to travel a lot and have a lot of fun, or to become famous, or pay off the mortgage on your house. Those are not the most important things, brothers and sisters. It might come as a shock and as a surprise to you. It is fulfilling the mission that Christ has for you. You see, the Lord has a mission that only you can fulfill. But part of that mission, once you step across the line, is to tell other people. You know Christ because somebody told you. Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell? And brothers and sisters, I want to reiterate. That is what Pioneer Community Church is about. It's about spreading the good news. It's about sharing God's amazing grace with this community. That's what this church is about. It's not about a club or a place where we come and just feel good. It's a place where we can share God's grace. It's a place where we can bring the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what Pioneer Community Church is about, and that's all the planning. And in January, we're going to get together as leaders to do some planning for the year. And that plan that we're going to come back to the church with is about how we can get the good news of Jesus Christ and God's grace out to the community. The way we show our gratitude for the grace of God is by making our own lives count, by living a life of extravagant generosity, and by telling as many people as we can about the good news. Our brother told us this morning that this is the last Sunday of the year. So I want to put a challenge to the church this morning. If we really believe that God's grace is so amazing, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with this grace that has been extended to us? I testified to you that God's grace became fresh and new to me this past year. And I feel it's incumbent upon me now to respond and to become obedient to His word. I want to tell you also that I believe that my experience with God's grace afresh this year was as a result of my having to spend an enormous amount of time in God's word. Having been put under preaching rotation, you have to study the word. And the more you're in the word, the more you experience God. And I'm saying there's a direct connection, and you cannot be the same. So if the scripture is a maybe for you, it should become a must be. I must read it. Because therein lies God's promises. Therein lies the reality of God and who He is. Therein lies the catalyst, the motivation for you to want to share God's amazing grace. Brothers and sisters, we can't remain the same. We cannot remain the same going into a new year. We have to make a commitment to act on God's grace that's been poured out upon us. I said I was going to be very short this morning, and what I wanted to do is, and I know the message has been a little bit somber this morning, and there's a reason for that. Because I'm hoping as we are talking that you're doing some amount of deep thought about your own life and about your own relationship with Christ. As we said, the way you experience and you receive this grace is that you trust God, you trust Jesus, and you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know why Jesus. Because He laid His life down for us. So I'm going to close. But in closing, I want to ask if there's any believer this morning who wants to confess their ingratitude to God today, who wants to take a step towards change, who wants to become empowered so that they may begin to share the good news of grace. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. And so I'm going to ask you at this time. You are here this morning, you're a believer, and you have heard the word of God about God's grace. You have heard, maybe you have caught half of the messages on grace, and you want to respond this morning. As a believer, I'm going to ask you to stand if you want to make a recommitment to God and you want to take a step to moving forward in God's amazing grace. Anybody else? And I pray this prayer. Father, we've been afraid to make our life count for you. Father, we've been afraid to use the abilities you have given us in ministry. We've been afraid to tithe and to put you first in our finances, Lord. We've been afraid, even at times, Lord, to identify ourselves as followers of you at our workplace. Please forgive us, Lord, for taking your grace for granted. And if you'd follow me in this prayer, folks. Father, I want to make my life count for you. I want to commit the rest of my life to using the life you gave me in serving you. And fulfilling the purpose you made me for.
Fulfilling the purpose you made me for.
I want to fulfill my mission. I want to become a generous person starting with my tithing. I'm going to trust you with my finances. I want to be used in sharing the good news. Help me to find at least one person this new year to whom I will share the good news of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I want to challenge you, believers, to execute on what you just prayed. If you would just bow your head and start praying that if there's any person in our midst who does not know Jesus, and so I've never experienced this amazing grace that we have talked about these past few weeks, that they would take the bold step to receive Christ right now. I'm talking to you if you have never received Christ. You're probably sitting there and for the first, maybe second, or maybe umpteenth time you're hearing about this amazing grace. You're hearing about how Jesus Christ died for your sin. If that's you, I would like to pray for you this morning. But I'd like to know if that's you so that I can pray intelligently. If you're here this morning and you want me to pray for you that you might really experience this amazing grace, just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. If there's anybody that's here this morning who wants to receive Christ as their Savior, who wants to come into this amazing relationship of grace, just slip your hand up and we'll pray for you. The church is praying for you right now. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the time we have spent in your holy presence this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your amazing grace, Lord. That, Lord, that even when we were your enemies, Lord Jesus, you laid your life down for us because you loved us. Oh, what an amazing grace. What an amazing love that you would give your life a ransom for us. And we are so thankful that you have brought us into this wonderful relationship, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, this morning. We praise you. You're a great God.
Thank
you. Hallelujah. What a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.